Live from the ESPN Pensacola studios. It's the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. You could be a part of today's show by texting or calling at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
First down and goal. Jackson keeps. Jackson to the edge. Touchdown, Ravens.
And that was one of the three scores that Mr. Lamar Jackson accounted for last night on the road against the L.A. Chargers. And look, both of those teams are L.A., right? You're going to get them mixed up. It was 50-50 shot. It was either the Rams or the Chargers, but it was the Chargers last night. And it was a great game, honestly and truthfully. Really turned out to be, at the end of it, a pretty fun game as 30-23 was your final score between the Ravens and the Chargers. Welcome into the Glass Half Full. I am Jordan Glass right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. If you want to be a part of today's show, hey, that's easy to do. All you've got to do is text or call 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. And again, just, I mean, Lamar Jackson, a big night for him last night, 16-22, 177 yards, but really it was the scoring. Right, he accounted for 21 of their 30 points, two passing touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, like you just heard right there. And it's funny because a lot of people all over social media, when he had that rushing touchdown in the second quarter, they matched it up to a play that he did at Boynton High School down in South Florida, and it was identical to a play that he did. Even the little stop and then the cut jump back was identical to what he did in high school last night. So Lamar Jackson starting to feel it a little bit here late in the season, which will be good news for the Ravens for sure. Derrick Henry, he talked about feeling it. Another game for him, over 100 yards, 140 yards on 24 carries. He is getting closer and closer to pushing over the 1,200-yard mark for the NFL season. So definitely a fantastic year for Derrick Henry. And he's really been the workhorse for this Baltimore Ravens offense. How he's played has dictated how the game has gone for the Ravens. Early on, and I'm not going to say the typical thing I normally say. I know you're waiting for me to say it, but I'm not going to say it. Okay, I'll say it. When he rushes for at least 100 yards, the Ravens win the game. That's happened all but once this year. He rushed for 100 yards, and they lost the football game. Most of the time, if he runs for 100, the Ravens are winning the game. But you saw it last night, right? Kind of struggled early on, couldn't really find any openings early on, and their offense struggled, right? They got behind the chains, they had some penalties, things like that. And then all of a sudden, he started finding some openings. That allowed Lamar Jackson to make some plays. All of a sudden, you've got guys taking it 40 yards down the field and making incredible catches into the end zone for a touchdown. So the Ravens' offense goes with how Derrick Henry is playing. If he's struggling, if he's getting bottled up and stopped, then that offense really is kind of ineffective. And honestly, early on, it was kind of the reverse early on in this game last night where J.K. Dobbins was breaking off some big runs, right? I mean, he played a quarter and a half, and he had 40 yards. The numbers for him, 6 carries for 40 yards. So he's, you know, averaging, what, 5-something yards a carry? So you can't be mad about that, right? Actually, maybe 6-point-something yards a carry. I'm not good at doing math right off the top of my head. You'll have to forgive me for that. But J.K. Dobbins early on, and what happened? We talked about it on yesterday's show, closing it out when we were talking about this game, breaking it down, making our predictions. Said if J.K. Dobbins could run the football against this Ravens, especially the Ravens front seven, but just really the defense in general, the Chargers would have an opportunity at winning this game. When he was in and he was actually having success on the ground, the Chargers had a 10-0 lead. Then he goes down with a knee injury. He leaves the game, and the offense for the Chargers just never really kind of recovered until it was really too late, and they kind of got a couple of scores in the second half. But really, that game at one point was, 30-16 at one point, and they tacked on that extra touchdown to make it a one-score game. But really, honestly and truthfully, the Ravens kind of took over in this game in the second half. Really kind of the middle eight, right? So one of the things you'll hear coaches talking about a lot is the middle eight. And what they mean by that is the 4 minutes before halftime and the first 4 minutes of the second half. That is the middle eight. And that is where teams can win and lose football games, right? That is where you really can kind of either trip yourself up or you can set yourself up to have a really good opportunity. So I think, you know, you look at it, the middle eight was big for the Ravens last night, right? They were able to climb back and take the lead 14-10 after being down 10-0. Yes, they did give up the field goal going into halftime, which made it 14-13, but they were to come back, march right down the field in the first few minutes of the second half, get a field goal, make it 17-13. Then all of a sudden, they score another touchdown. They try to go for a two-point conversion. They fail it. Then, you know, they get the other touchdown and they get out there, and it's all of a sudden, boom, 30-16 before you even realize it. That middle eight was crucial for Baltimore last night. They won that middle eight, and that's why they were able to win this game the way that they did. So I think just really honestly and truthfully, a couple of things to stand out to me. Lamar Jackson, again, proving why he is a lot of people's MVPs. Derrick Henry is proven why he is that other set of people's MVP, right? You kind of have two facets of people with the NFL right now. You have one group that thinks Lamar Jackson is the MVP. Not wrong. Then you have another group that says Derrick Henry should be the MVP. Not wrong. Honestly, if the NFL came out and said, hey, we're going to do co-NFL MVPs between Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, I would actually be okay with that. Honestly, I would. Both have deserved it. Both have played crucial roles to their team this year. So if they came out and made them co-NFL MVPs, I don't think they've ever done that in the NFL. I might be wrong. If you know that they have, feel free to text it in, 850-623-1330. But I don't think the NFL's ever done that. But I think this year they might actually have an opportunity to with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson just because of how much they've meant to their team. Because if you take those two guys off this Ravens team, they're not 8-4. They're not. So these two guys, you know, either person, right, whether you're somebody that says Lamar Jackson should be the MVP or you're somebody that says that that Derrick Henry should be the MVP, you're not wrong either way. It's the glass half full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. I am Jordan Glass. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to be a part of the show, text or call 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. As we are getting closer to the end of the NFL regular season, start to kind of look at playoff pictures. And obviously with last night's game, it's two playoff contenders. And I kind of really was watching this game and was thinking to myself, could either one of these teams push the Buffalo Bills or the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC? Could either one of these teams put up a fight? I don't think – we'll go with the Chargers first because they're the easier conversation to have. No, I don't think the Chargers are there yet, right? Year one under Jim Harbaugh, they're still trying to kind of revamp what they do best. They're trying to become a more physical team. They want to run first, then throw second. They've got pieces. If you can keep J.K. Dobbins healthy, you've got a good running back there. You've got Justin Herbert at the quarterback position. I think if you can bring in some very talented receivers, whether that's through free agency or the draft, if you can bring in some quality receivers and maybe beef up the offensive line a little bit, I think that offense is going to be significantly better next year. Defensively, I think they just need to continue to grow. They're a well-coached team. They're a well-disciplined team. We saw that on display last night in Monday Night Football. But I do think they are still a year or two off from really being able to seriously compete with the Buffalo Bills or the Kansas City Chiefs in a playoff setting, right? In the regular season, it might be a little different because in the postseason, you're going to have teams that are a little bit more aggressive, right? They're going to consider going for it a little bit more on fourth down. Why? Because it's the postseason. You win or you go home. So you're going to have teams that are going to look to push the issue and play a little bit more aggressive than they normally would throughout the season. So I think in the regular season, yeah, the Chargers could probably sneak up and catch a game on the Buffalo Bills or something like that. If the Bills or the Chiefs maybe have a couple of key guys that are out with injuries, you could see the Chargers sneak up and grab a game in the offseason or in the regular season. But in the postseason, no, they're just not there yet. Doesn't mean they won't get there. They're kind of like the Miami Dolphins. They're a good team, but they're not quite to that level to where they're going to knock off one of those top teams inside the AFC and get to the Super Bowl. It just they're not yet there yet. Now, for the Ravens, I think the Ravens do have enough, and I think with Derrick Henry, and this is why, honestly and truthfully, I lean more towards the Derrick Henry side of that MVP conversation we were having a moment ago between Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, which guy should be more of a MVP candidate. The reason I lean more towards Derrick Henry is because of what I said at the top of the show. And if you're just now tuning in, you missed what I said. What I said was this offense is going to operate and this team is going to operate on how Derrick Henry plays. If Derrick Henry is being bottled up and slowed down, then this offense is going to be bottled up and slowed down. When Derrick Henry starts breaking off runs, he starts picking up chunk plays, that's when it opens up for Lamar Jackson. That's when the passing game opens up. That's when you start to see this Ravens offense drive down the field and put points on the board, right? Go back and rewatch last night's game. If you have the ability to, go back and watch last night's game. When the Chargers jump out to a quick 10-0 lead, the Ravens are just three and out. They're constantly behind the chains. Pay attention. Derrick Henry's not really doing much. And then all of a sudden, Derrick Henry starts finding holes. He and that offensive line start leaning on that front seven for the Chargers. All of a sudden, those big chunk plays start happening for him. And that opens it up for Lamar Jackson. That opens it up for the rest of that Baltimore offense. So, yeah, I think really honestly and truthfully, it's going to go how Derrick Henry plays. And I think if Derrick Henry comes into a game, especially if somehow, some way, they manage to get a playoff game at home against, let's say, the Bills. I think the Ravens at home against the Bills with Derrick Henry, they would have a legitimate shot at winning that game. I really do. So I think the Chiefs and the Bills are head and shoulders above everybody else in the AFC right now. I think the Ravens are that next team that's behind them. So if there is a team that is going to put pressure and could potentially beat the Chiefs or the Bills in the AFC Championship game and get to the Super Bowl in New Orleans in February, yeah, I do think the Baltimore Ravens are that team simply because of Derrick Henry. Because with a guy like Derrick Henry, you're going to be able to control the clock. You're going to be able to control the game and control the narrative and the outcome of what's happening between the lines. And if you can do that in a game like an AFC Championship game, it's going to give you the better chance at winning. So I think having Derrick Henry, that pickup of Derrick Henry in the offseason has turned out to be massive for the Baltimore Ravens this year, as we expected it to be. It's the glass half full here on ESPN Pensacola. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to be a part of the show, 850-623-1330. How about the other side for the NFC? Because if we're going to talk about the AFC, let's go ahead and talk about the NFC as well. Is there anybody that can challenge the Detroit Lions? Because right now at 10-1 to me, the Detroit Lions are that team that, like I said about the Bills and the Chiefs, they're head and shoulders above everybody else in that conference. So is there anybody that could beat the Detroit Lions? There's actually a little bit more in the NFC than there is in the AFC. So a couple of teams that have a good chance at knocking them off. Minnesota, I like the way the Vikings play. They've proven that they can score a lot of points this year. They've proven that they can play really good defense this year. If they can put it all together and they are a healthy football team, I do think Minnesota could potentially beat Detroit in a playoff setting. I really do. Also, Philadelphia. The Eagles, they're really starting to heat up right now, right? I even so to the point to where you remember a few weeks back we were talking about Nick Sirianni and was he the right fit for the Eagles? You know, he's yelling and arguing with fans, with Eagle fans during the game. Maybe the Eagles should look to go a different route, all that stuff. Now you've got people going, I think we might owe Nick Sirianni an apology. Because this Eagles team has really been playing really good football the last few weeks. So I think that you add that in with the fact that, again, just like with Derrick Henry and the Ravens, they have Saquon Barkley. That's going to open up the offense tremendously for a guy like Jalen Hurts, right? You're going to be able to find guys like A.J. Smith, right? You're going to be able to find all those talented receivers you have there in Philly, all because Saquon Barkley is going to open up that offense. Defenses have to play honest, right? You can't key in on one guy against the Philadelphia Eagles because they've got two or three other that are going to hurt you. So I think that's why they actually would have a good chance at beating Detroit in a playoff setting. The one maybe for me is Green Bay. I think Green Bay, the caveat with Green Bay in this situation would be that they would have to play a darn near perfect game, right? They would have to force mistakes like penalties, turnovers, things like that. They would have to make the Detroit Lions fumble the game to them, literally and figuratively, right? Because they would need the penalties. They would need the turnovers. They would need the miscues like dropping passes, things like that. They would need those types of factors to help them win this game. But they do have the talent to win this game. I think Jordan Love is a continuing quarterback that will develop and grow as he continues to play in the NFL. So I'm very interested to see where they go with him as their starting quarterback moving forward, how they continue to build this team and this organization around Jordan Love as their next franchise quarterback, right? They went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, from Aaron Rodgers now to Jordan Love. How do they build around Jordan Love? So far, they've done a good job of that. They're a really good football team. Like I said, if they were to knock off the Lions in a playoff setting, they're going to need a little bit of help from the Lions. Dropped passes, penalties, turnovers, all those kind of things would be needed for the Packers to win in a playoff setting against the Detroit Lions. So I think as far as the AFC, again, if you're just tuning in, AFC, is there anybody that can push the Kansas City Chiefs or the Buffalo Bills? I think it's got to be the Baltimore Ravens if anybody is going to do it. In the NFC, you got the Detroit Lions there, head and shoulders above everybody else. But I really do think that Minnesota, Philadelphia, and maybe Green Bay could have an opportunity at sneaking in there and knocking off the Lions in a playoff atmosphere. We'll take our first time out of the show. When we come back, we are going to switch gears, talk a little college football, even a little Major League Baseball, stadium troubles for the Rays. We'll talk about it coming up next right here on the Glass Half Full.
Auburn football fans, it's time to talk War Eagles football. Be listening every Thursday from 10 to 11 a.m. for War Eagle Weekly, an exclusive one-hour talk show featuring the inside scoop on everything Auburn Tigers football, including upcoming matchups, post-game analysis, and the latest news highlights with show host Bill Clark. Auburn football War Eagle Weekly, brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road, every Thursday from 10 to 11 a.m. only on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m. and 99.1 FM. War Eagle!
ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM is your home for the NFL primetime games on the radio. That's Thursday night football, Sunday night football, and Monday night football. Also, be sure to catch the early games Sunday mornings when the NFL is traveling overseas. So how do you know which games we're carrying? Easy. Just follow us on Facebook / ESPN Pensacola. ESPN Pensacola, all sports, all the time.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Welcome back in on a Tuesday morning, just a couple of days away from Turkey Day, Thursday. Not only is it going to be Thanksgiving, get to spend some time with family and friends, but it's a heck of a good day for football, if you ask me. Lots of great games coming up on Thursday that you can actually hear right here on ESPN Pensacola. As a matter of fact, we will have War Eagle Weekly coming up at 10 on Thursday. So we'll still have War Eagle Weekly for you. Then after that, we will start our NFL triple header. That's right. Not one, not two, but three NFL games for you on Thanksgiving afternoon right here on ESPN Pensacola. We've got the Bears and the Lions. The Bears taking on the best team in the NFC and the Detroit Lions. We've got the Giants taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Lots of people saying Jerry Jones and the Cowboys had an opportunity to do one of the funniest things and sign Daniel Jones and bring him in to play for the Cowboys against his former team, the Giants, on Thanksgiving Day. That would have been funny. And then, of course, our final, our nightcap, the Dolphins will take on the Packers. Those two teams faced off a couple of years ago on Christmas Day. Now they're playing on Thanksgiving Day. So three great NFL games coming your way on Thanksgiving. Definitely want to tune in for that. Maybe have a little, you know, AirPod in or something at the table while you're having dinner with the family. I won't tell anybody. It's okay. I won't tell anybody. What's up? It's Jordan. Welcome back into the Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Hey, if you want to be a part of today's show, it is easy to do. Just text or call 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Quinn Ewers for the Texas Longhorns, the starting quarterback for them. Looks like he's going to be going under some testing for his ankle. He hurt his ankle against Kentucky. It just seems to be precautionary, honestly. He did come back into the game against Kentucky after leaving with that injury. So, again, it just kind of seems to be one of those things that's a precautionary. They want to double-check it and make sure that he is okay before suiting up this weekend against Texas A&M. But it has started a rather interesting controversy on social media with another college football blue blood fan base. Florida State fans have attached themselves to this news. Why? Well, because of what happened to them at the end of last season with the Jordan Travis injury, ultimately leading to them being left out of the college football playoff, and everybody simply pointing to that as the reason why, saying, without Jordan Travis, you are not a college football playoff team, and that is why the committee left you out. Well, now Florida State fans have decided to take it upon themselves to flood social media and to go after the committee, saying, if for whatever reason, let's say Quinn Ewers is found to be seriously injured and he cannot go against A&M and he cannot go in the potential SEC championship game, then you must take Texas out of the playoffs. Do you know how ridiculous that sounds? Because for first and foremost, if Quinn Ewers can't go, let me check the roster here. Arch Manning would go. And with Arch Manning at the quarterback position, and I need Florida State fans to listen to me on this because this is the big kicker right here. They are still a college football playoff caliber team with Arch Manning as the starting quarterback. Florida State last year was not. With Rotemaker going in to take over for Jordan Travis, Florida State had no opportunity or no chance to win a college football playoff game. Because do you know who a real college football playoff caliber team was in the postseason last year? The Georgia Bulldogs. They also got left out of the playoffs. What happened in the Orange Bowl? Do we need to go pull up the highlights? I can post them on ESPN Pensacola's social media if you need to watch them. No? You remember? I thought so. That's my point here. Is it without Jordan Travis, you were not a college football playoff caliber team? Without Quinn Ewers, here's the thing. Without Quinn Ewers, Texas may actually be a little bit better. Arch Manning may provide, because here's Arch Manning uses his legs in a deceptive way, right? Because you hear Manning and you think, oh, they're going to sit back in the pocket and they're going to make great throws. He's a Manning. He's going to throw just like his uncles Eli and Peyton did, just like his grandpa Arch did. But the thing about Cooper's his dad. The thing about Arch Manning is Arch Manning runs like Archie Manning, right? Archie Manning had a little bit of mobility to him, right? When he played for the Saints, was one of the first quarterbacks who really could kind of move around and get out of the pocket and run downfield. Arch Manning has that same effect. That's why I say that the Texas Longhorns might actually be a little bit better with Arch Manning in the game than they are with Quinn Ewers. Not to mention, Arch Manning is a better passer than Quinn Ewers. Now, for anybody going, well, if he's so much better, why isn't he playing? Well, seniority. Seniority. Quinn Ewers has been leading this team for the last couple of seasons. You're not just going to pull him just to put some young gun in. Let Arch continue to develop. But if Arch does have to go, guess what? They are still a playoff caliber team. So for the Florida State fans that are belly aching and complaining today, saying that, well, you know, Texas, if Quinn Ewers can't go, Texas should be left out of the playoffs because, no, they shouldn't. They're still, even if Quinn Ewers doesn't play, they're still a playoff caliber team. It didn't have to do with the quarterback getting injured as much as if we took you without Jordan Travis and put you against Michigan, if we took you without Jordan Travis and pushed you against Washington or against Alabama, would you have beaten them without Jordan Travis? The answer was a resounding no for the committee. That's why Florida State was left out. If you look at it this year and you go, if Arch Manning is playing quarterback for the Texas Longhorns and we put them against Oregon, do they still have a chance to win? If we put them against Ohio State, do they have a chance to win? If we put them against Penn State, do they have a chance to win? The answer to that question is yes on every single one. That is why the Texas Longhorns will not be taken out of the playoffs if Quinn Ewers cannot go. I understand why Florida State fans are upset still, because they've got cheated last year out of being a part of the college football playoffs after going 13-0 and winning the ACC. But the fact of the matter is, without Jordan Travis, you are not a college football playoff team. Without Quinn Ewers, the Texas Longhorns are still a college football playoff team. That's the difference. It has nothing to do with the player that got injured. It has to do with the caliber of the team when the injury happens. Point blank, period. Moving on. It's the Glass Half Full, ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. If you want to be a part of today's show, especially after that, you might have gotten a little fired up and riled up if you're an FSU fan, 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. Moving now to a little Major League Baseball. The Tampa Bay Rays, they are in a world of hurt right now as far as stadiums go, right? They've got to play this year in the spring training facility of one of their arch rivals in the New York Yankees. Their home stadium will be named George Steinbrenner Field. How about that? If you're a Rays fan, you've got to go sit surrounded by Yankee logos and cheer on the Rays in the spring training home of the New York Yankees. That's you know, gut punch number one. The second one is that obviously now we're starting to get more and more and more knowledge about just how bad Tropicana Field was damaged back when Hurricane Milton went through in October. Right? So you've got the ceiling that came off the stadium, the dome, that tarp covering that they had got ripped to shreds, right? And now the field, the stadium, everything that has never been exposed to the elements suddenly is exposed to the elements. And we all live in the state of Florida. If you're listening to ESPN Pensacola, unless you're listening off the ESPN Pensacola app, which if you are, we appreciate you doing so. But for most of us, we live in the state of Florida. We know how crazy this weather is. We know how crazy of a climate our state has. Now, all of a sudden, all of that stuff that was on the outside or in the inside of Tropicana Field is now exposed to those elements on the outside. And that is causing issues, and that is causing damage to Tropicana Field to the point to where they've pretty much decided probably not ever going to play another game in Tropicana Field. Probably not going to happen. So they need to start moving forward with this new stadium. The only problem is the ownership for the Tampa Bay Rays is looking at it saying, we don't think you'll get a new stadium done by 2028. And that was the thing that we originally agreed to when there was an agreement made for a $1.3 billion stadium in St. Pete back in July. The agreement for us was that it would be done by 2028, because if it gets pushed back to 2029, then that adds on extra costs that would be significantly more for us to have to deal with and us to have to pay for. So if, excuse me, so if you are going to push it back to 2029, we're backing out of the deal. And so now they're having a back and forth with Pinellas County Court and chair commissioners and all that stuff down there, just like Kathleen Peters, who is the commission chairperson. And she's come out and she's like, look, we're going to give you until Sunday, December 1st. You got to the beginning of the month to figure out what you want to do. You want to renew your lease or you want to move out? We'll build you a nice, shiny new stadium if you want to stay. But you got to let us know something by Sunday. And the thing about it is it doesn't seem like they are going to let them know anything by Sunday. It's the glass half full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM, talking about the Tampa Bay Rays and their troubles with getting a stadium built and the complications that are coming with that, especially now that it's really in dire need of them to get a stadium built with the shape of Tropicana Field being the way it is after Hurricane Milton. Rays ownership came out and stated, of course, that delay to 2029 just wasn't acceptable for them because of cost. Peters clapped back and said, that's a felicitous statement. Not only are the Rays on the hook for any additional costs, they've already signed and agreed to that, but she says that the stadium can be built by 2028 and that this is really just kind of an excuse by Rays ownership to try to back out of the deal, that really that they can get the stadium built for the Rays. The Rays, again, just kind of digging their feet in the ground and saying, look, we don't think you can get it done by 2028, and because of that, we don't necessarily know if we want to sign that deal. So now they have until Sunday, which is December 1st, and Peters told the Tampa Bay Times, she said she would discuss how to proceed with Assistant County Attorney Don Crowell and County Administrator Barry Burton if the Rays do not agree to the deal. Here's my two cents on this. If you're the Tampa Bay Rays, what is your deal, right? You have a city in St. Petersburg that loves you, that wants you to stay right there, willing to build a $1.3 billion stadium that, if you've seen the renderings for it, is absolutely gorgeous and would have shopping, would have places for people to stay when they come to games. There would be apartment complexes in the area. It would bring, not only would it provide the Rays with a world-class place to play their home games, which is something they have never had, right? Because let's be honest, Tropicana Field was never really that great of a place to play, even back in the 90s. It would provide them with a world-class place that they could call home during the Major League Baseball season, but also the amount of jobs it would bring to the area, how well it would help the economy. St. Petersburg is all in on keeping the Rays in St. Pete. And for whatever reason, Rays ownership, honestly, I'm getting more and more convinced as the day goes on and days pass and months pass, I'm getting more and more convinced that Rays ownership doesn't want to be in St. Pete. Heck, I don't even know if they want to be in Tampa anymore. You know, you had the Orlando came out a few years ago, and I was actually living in Orlando at the time when they made this announcement. They'd made the announcement about the Orlando Dreamers, a potential MLB expansion team. Maybe that's what the Rays owners are hoping for secretly, is to move the team to the Orlando area. They've got space over there by Camping World Stadium and by the Kia Center or whatever, where the Magic play their games. And, of course, they have the MLS Stadium over there. They've got space to build a baseball stadium right there. Be right there in the heart of downtown, just west of I-4. It's plausible. And maybe that's what the Rays ownership wants. But if that's the case, they need to man up, find some testicular fortitude, and actually say it rather than dragging it on with St. Pete, right? Because here's what they're doing with St. Pete right now, right? All right, have you ever had somebody that come to you and they tell you, I really like you. I definitely could see myself dating you. I really like you, but I don't want to date you right now. And they just continue to string you along? That's what the Rays owner are doing to St. Pete right now. We like you. We like playing here. It's beautiful. We've got the bay on one side. We've got the beach on the other. It's great. Perfect weather. St. Pete loves us. We love St. Pete. But we're not sure we want to stay in St. Pete. Okay, we'll agree to a $1.3 billion stadium here. A couple of months later. And we don't know if we want to agree to that stadium anymore. It's just leading them on. If you want to go somewhere else, you need to come out and say you want to go somewhere else if you're the Rays ownership. Otherwise, shut up, sign the deal, let them build the stadium and stay in St. Pete. This has been going on for far too long. for far too long. This is not a new thing. This is not because of Hurricane Milton. This is something that has been going on for years with the Tampa Bay Rays and St. Pete and trying to get a new stadium built. My grandmother used to have a saying, I have to clean it up a little bit for radio, but it's pee or get off the pot. Meaning basically, make your decision, stop procrastinating. So Tampa Bay Rays ownership, pee or get off the pot. Are you staying in Tampa? Are you staying in the St. Pete area? Are you going to leave and go somewhere else? Are you going to leave and go to Canada? Are you going to leave and go to Orlando? Quit leading people on. Quit saying, oh, yeah, we're going to stay here. And then try to pull out of the deal with some BS about how, oh, well, the stadium won't be ready for another extra year. Okay. All right. You agree to absorb those costs if that happens. It's in the contract. You can't back out of it now, buddy boy. Make your decision. Is it St. Pete? Do you want to have a stadium built in downtown Tampa, close to Raymond James Stadium? Do you want to go to Orlando? Do you want to go to Canada? Do you want to go out to the West Coast? You got to make up your mind. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, more of the Glass Half Full right after this.
The Rich Eisen Show on weekdays after Greeny at 11 to 2 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
.942 here on this Tuesday morning. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Glass Half Full. I am Jordan Glass, and you can be a part of today's show. 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Getting back into it now, going back to the NFL, Rex Ryan, he has made some comments on ESPN that, you know, I agree with. I will admit, I do agree with that, and I think he's onto something here, and it has to do with the New York Giants, because I think right now the New York Giants are just kind of, they're a mess right now, and when you look at what really has been a very tumultuous couple of seasons for them, it's just, it's not getting any better. And this is what Rex Ryan had to say. And I'm just going to warn you, this cut's about a minute 45. So he had a lot to say. But this is kind of the gist of what he said on Get Up.
Man, I thought the Giants played well. I mean, Saquon Barkley goes for 302 scrimmage yards, 255 rushing. Xavier McKinney, your guy, leads the league, got a seventh interception. Oh, by the way. All right.
Leonard Williams.
Leonard Williams, 2.5 sacks for Seattle. So the Giants played great. But the little Giants stink. And when you look at them, like Xavier McKinney, they could have used a player like that. Yeah. The Giants haven't gotten a defensive interception for 10 weeks now. Is that even possible? Yeah. 10 weeks. So look,
and McKinney's leading the league.
Yeah. But you know what? They did exactly what they deserve. When you let Daniel Jones walk out with – we're not going to play him because we don't want him to get hurt. We know you're our best quarterback, but, you know, we don't want you to get hurt because we don't be stuck with that money and all that stuff. Great message you sent to the locker room. You got exactly what you deserve. That team looked like they had no energy, no juice. And why? You gave up on them. Don't tell me the players gave up on you. You gave up on them.
Yeah, so we're going to stop right there. We're not going to play the full cut. But, look, Rex Ryan is spot on here. First and foremost, you let a guy like Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney, you let them walk. You let them leave. Go to other teams. McKinney's with the Packers. Saquon Barkley is with your rival in the own division that you're in with the Philadelphia Eagles. And last time you had to play him, he let you know. He reminded you that you let him walk. Right? And then he's talking about with the way that the front office handled the situation with Daniel Jones and how they pretty much told Daniel Jones, we don't want you to get hurt because then we're going to be stuck with you in your contract. So we're actually going to bench you and then ultimately release you so we're not stuck with you anymore because we don't want you. We're going to move on to Tommy DeVito. Even though you're technically the better quarterback, we're going to move on to Tommy DeVito. This organization, this front office, gave up on this team. They gave up on trying to win football games. The minute they let Saquon Barkley walk, when Saquon Barkley was willing to actually go and get a deal done to stay with the New York Giants, and they still let him walk because they refused to pay him the money that not only he wanted, but let's be honest, the money he deserved. He's hurdling guys backwards this year for the Philadelphia Eagles. Hello, that's the kind of running back you pay him whatever the heck he wants to be paid. You don't tell him no. You don't give him stipulations. You pay him what he wants. You give him the contract that he wants. Or else, he's going to go somewhere else. And do you really think it was just a random thing that he happened to go to the closest rival you have that is in your own division, what, just a couple of hours away from you in Philly? No. Saquon knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. He said, fine, you don't want to pay me? I'm going to go to a place where not only you have to play me every year, but you have to play me twice every year, and I'm going to make you understand why you should have paid me. This front office, starting with general manager Joe Schoen, they have completely given up on this team, on this organization. They've given up on winning and competing. And because of that, like Rex Ryan said, they get what they deserve. They get a team that's turned around and has quit on them. Right? Because remember, the front office quit on the Giants. The Giants didn't quit on the front office. The GM, the president, all those guys, they quit on this team first. So the team said, screw it. If they don't care, neither do we. And they went out and got boat raced by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday. No energy, no emotions, just flat across the board at every position and got beat 30-7. You got Baker Mayfield mocking the Tommy DeVito Italian hand celebration in the end zone. I do agree with Alex Anzalone when he posted on Twitter, though. He's doing that a little too aggressive. It's more in the wrist, Baker. Right? Baker was more like shooting somebody the bird in traffic, waving that at him, more than the actual gesture he was trying to do. It's more in the wrist. But aside from that, it's just the New York Giants are just a mess right now. They really are. It's the glass half full, ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. It's not very full if you're the New York Giants. That is for sure. If you want to be a part of today's show, 850-623-1330. Yeah, the Giants, look, they just need to blow everything up, right? Get rid of Brian Daboll as the head coach. Get rid of Joe Schoen as the GM. Get people in there that actually care about the Giants. Get people in there that care about that logo. And that actually want the Giants to succeed. Because guess what? It is good for the NFL when the Giants are actually a good football team. It is. When the Giants are a good football team, when the Eagles are good, when the Cowboys are good, and they're all good together, and those rivalries mean something, and they're all jockeying for a position at the top of that division, oh, it makes the NFL so much better. The Giants got to blow it up, though. Are they willing to do that? The last couple of years, they have been committed to doing everything but that. You let your star running back go. You let your star safety go. You let other couple of key players go. And now this team is where they're at. It's not really a surprise that they're as bad as they are now. Honestly and truthfully, it's not. Getting away from that, talking about something that's a little bit more fun, a little bit more enjoyable, great article on ESPN, not on ESPN Pensacola, but ESPN.com by Ryan McGee. And I always love his stuff, because especially when he kind of blends sports and pop culture, because nobody can do that better than Ryan McGee for ESPN. Does a fantastic job with that. His partner, Marty Smith, is a close second, but he really does a great job. He was talking about the article is basically talking about Forrest Gump and how he played at Alabama and how good of a player was he actually in Alabama, right? And this was all brought on by, I guess, a gamer is the one who did this. I'm not entirely sure if he's a gamer or just happened to decide to do this. But he actually, in NCAA Football 25, decided to create Forrest Gump as a player and run him through the ranks of playing in Alabama. And that's kind of what got the wheels turning for Ryan McGee on this. But I thought it was just a fun article, and you can definitely go check it out, ESPN.com, and read it for yourself. But it got me thinking, who are some of the other just high-caliber, top-tier football players from movies? And I got a list here, and if you want to join in here on the Glass Half Full with yours and share it, you can definitely do that. You can text or call 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. I got to start out here with Willie Steeman Beeman. You got to go with him. Jamie Foxx did a great job in Any Given Sunday. That whole cast, Dennis Quaid, LL Cool J, Al Pacino, hoo-ah! They all did a fantastic job in that movie. But I got to go Willie Beeman if I'm picking anybody from that movie. Willie Beeman for sure. Billy Bob from Varsity Blues. I know I'm not going with Mox, not going with any of the other skill players. I'm going with Billy Bob because Billy Bob is a 10. It's a 10, all right? If you've seen Varsity Blues, you know what I'm talking about. Billy Bob definitely would have been a five-star offensive lineman for sure had it not been for Kilmer treating him the way he did. I got two here on this list because it's a Keanu Reeves twofer. All right, how about Johnny Utah from Point Break and then Shane Footsteps Falco, the pride of Florida State, in The Replacements? Yeah, you definitely got to go there with both of those guys. How about Boobie Miles from Friday Night Lights? Coach, you want to win? Put Boobie in, let him spin. I definitely a great player there. Of course, we got Danny Bateman, who was played by Jon Favreau back in the day in The Replacements with Keanu Reeves, who played Footsteps Falco. We got Cheeseburger Eddie, played by Terry Crews in the new version of The Longest Yards. Also, Nelly in that movie playing Earl Meggett, the talented running back. We got Rod Tidwell, played by Cuba Gooding Jr. in Jerry Maguire. And this one is a real player. I know it's a real person in real life, but I had to add it to the list here. Gary Bertier, Remember the Titans. I know he's a real person. Doesn't technically fit with the rest of them who are all fictional, but Gary Bertier is the anchor of Remember the Titans. That storyline, that emotional storyline of the car accident and everything else that happens with him, that movie is not, it's not as impactful because that adds that other element to it. You do have the civil rights movement. You have all of that stuff. And that adds an emotional element to it too. But then you see these two guys that are from two different walks of life. They become brothers. And then one has this car accident that takes away his ability to walk. And he's can't play this game that he loves anymore. And he can't be out there with this guy who is like a new brother to him. They can't play together anymore. And it's just, oh man, it just adds another emotional aspect to it. So I got to go with Gary Bertier because of that. I mean, all of these are great movies, great characters. If you got one you want to add to the list, definitely do so. 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. I need a sports movie marathon, right? I need it. I'm avoiding one, though. I'm avoiding Brian Song. It's too close to Happy Holidays to be watching something like Brian Song. That is for sure. I'm telling you, ladies, if you're listening right now, whether you're listening by yourself or you're listening with your man, you want to see him cry, watch Brian Song with him. Trust me. It doesn't matter how big and burly of a man he is. He's going to cry with Brian Song for sure. We'll take our final time out of the show. When we come back, we'll wrap things up with your headline roundup right after this.
You want it? You got it. NFL football on ESPN Pensacola. 18. Friday, it's the Black Friday game. The 2-8 Las Vegas Raiders take on the 9-1 Kansas City Chiefs at 1:30 p.m. Kansas City leads the AFC West. Can the Raiders put a dent in that record? Catch every pass, every play right here on ESPN Pensacola.
Mike Greenberg, weekdays 9 to 11, right before the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Let's have full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Wrapping things up here on a Tuesday morning. which means it is time for your headline roundup. Before we get to that, we do have a text here about best fictional football players from a movie. Somebody said, how about Icebox? Yeah, okay. I forgot about that movie, Little Giants, Becky O'Shea, a.k.a. Icebox. That's a blast from my childhood right there for sure. Some headline roundups here for you. Lamar Jackson accounts for 3 touchdowns as the Ravens take care of the Chargers, 30-23. J.K. Dobbins leaves that game with a knee injury in the second quarter. Dan Hurley rips the refs after a late-game call cost UConn a game versus Memphis in the Maui Invitational, their first loss of the season. Disagreed with the call there. Dropped to his knees. Didn't really say anything to the refs, just dropped to his knees kind of in frustration and disbelief, and they hit him with a technical. I kind of agree with Coach Hurley on this one. That was a little soft, if you ask me. Wide receiver Colby Young back at practice for the Georgia Bulldogs following his arrest for misdemeanor charges of battery and assault on an unborn child back in October. Rams wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson arrested on a suspicion of DUI, and Kristaps Porzingis back for the Celtics last night as they rout the Clippers 126-94. That is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. No glass half full tomorrow. We will have Tomahawk Talk, so tune in for Terry Gross and I for that. Glass half full, we'll be back on Thursday on Thanksgiving. Greeny coming up next.